Some shit I can't allow. Feeding my ego, starving my inner child. I need to simmer down before they crowd around. Ask how I'm doing now. Jump out the sucking place. I got the hunger face. I need a piece of the American pie. Tell me the truth, cause the devil gon' lie.
She blind or nah?
Whoopsie. Hey, what up, what up, what up? Let me get my voice together. Woo! This is another episode of the Blind Myth Podcast. I am your host, you should know by now, Jabril Jamal, aka Easy Wonder. I make this visually impaired stuff look easy. You dig? I want to welcome y'all into a new episode of the Blind Myth Podcast. Today we have a wonderful guest with us, and it's important to make sure that your mental health is in order, especially for the New Year's. I want to give a shout out to all my VIPs out there, all my visually impaired, visually improved people. Cane Mafia, put your canes in the air. And if you are going through something, just talk to somebody. Let it be a family member, a friend, but somebody that you can trust, because just know that what you're going through, you are not going through it alone. And today we have a special guest speaking on mental health. Today we have a licensed clinical social worker, Alicia Betancourt, coming in. The lovely, the talented, the smart Alicia. Welcome to the show. Where you at?
Hey, good afternoon, Jabril. Thank you so much for having me on the show today.
Welcome to the Blind Myth Podcast.
Thank you. It's definitely not a myth that I'm blind.
How you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing fantastic. I had some self-care before this meeting, aka massage, a hand in stone. So I'm definitely all about taking care of myself this year.
Yes, that's where I'm at too today. Dang, I need to massage my goddamn self. What type of massage did you get? Was it like hot stones or like?
Sure. I typically get the deep tissue massage with CBD oil, but today I tried some of the hot stones. Not my thing, but some people might like it.
All right. Tell the people a little bit about your visual impairment and how did it come about?
Sure. Well, I am what I like to call an in-betweeny. I have a little bit of functional vision. I use it whenever possible, or whenever it needs to be used. But mostly, I function as somebody who has no vision at all. So the name of my eye condition is called optic nerve atrophy, which basically means the optic nerve, which is at the back of the eye, that's supposed to transmit the image to the brain, which comes from the retina, is kind of messed up. So my cable cord is messed up.
How does that affect your visual acuity?
The eye doctors explained to me that they said I can only see hand movement, but I have a different opinion. I think I can see like 4 to 6 feet in front of me, but everything has to be really big and in your face. So I decided to read Braille whenever possible. And I'm also hearing impaired.
Okay. That's a double. Now, when did the hearing impairment come about? Now, was that later or kind of around the same time as the visual impairment?
Actually, I noticed, I went to the school for the blind, Florida School for the Deaf and Blind, St. Augustine, Florida. Yay! Go Cobras!
Hey,
sorry.
Hey. Go Cobras!
That's right! We are like one of the best goal ball schools out there. Anyways, I should tell them I'm a little competitive. I learned that I was losing hearing in my senior year of high school. So I was having trouble hearing my English teacher, Mr. Payne. I was like, Mr. Payne, I can't hear what you're saying.
Whoopsie.
And so that's when it all started.
Wow. Now, how was going through further schooling, because you did attend college. Now, what college did you attend?
College was fun. I went to University of Central Florida in Orlando. Go Knights.
Now, how was navigating with the visual impairment and the hearing impairment, even if you kind of didn't know at the time? Like, how was maneuvering college life?
Definitely am glad that I have a white cane. And I started using a white cane in middle school, 7th grade. I just when I started going to school for the blind, FSB. It was a big campus. And let's just say, when you're in a hurry, don't follow other people.
Break it down. What you mean?
Well, I followed some sighted people once because I couldn't tell when they crossed the street. And they stopped in the middle of the street and, like, I didn't know what to do and got really nervous. And then I decided to go when they went and we almost got hit. So,
oh wow,
learning how to cross the street and doing those things that your mobility instructor tells you, like, really come in handy. So don't follow other sighted people because they don't always know the same rules we know. When it comes to knowing when to cross the street, like using your ears and, you know, waiting, parallel traffic and all that good stuff.
Were you one of the only ones on campus that were legally blind?
If there were other people who were blind, I didn't know where they were. Like, they were hiding out. Like, they didn't want to show themselves. all the students seemed to be cool with their my visual impairment because I was cool with it. I definitely tried to, you know, make friends and stuff. Sometimes it was a necessary evil to be talkative in class because sometimes I needed to find a note taker and I had to be like, hey, you seem like you're here all the time early. You look like you're studious or whatever. You want to make some money? So I had to kind of be sociable to get help.
And how was your professors? How did they assist you on your journey?
Ooh, professors. The good ones or the not so good ones?
Both of them. We want to hear both.
Most of the time, the professors were pretty cool. I was kind of proactive. Like, I would find out my professors' emails and email them like a month ahead of time. And be like, hey, I'm going to be in your class. I have a disability. Just wanted you to know. And can you tell me what the book that we're going to be using for classes? Because you don't have it in the bookstore, so I can't get it yet. Most of them were pretty cool. Some of them thought I was trying to, like, get over and maybe have less work. But once they figured out that I didn't want many changes, I wanted to just be like everybody else. They were pretty cool.
Okay.
Phone call.
Okay. Somebody is calling me in the middle of my interview. I am not answering that.
Whoopsie.
Anyways. And, okay, after your college experience, going into the workforce as a visually impaired blind woman, and on top of that, black woman, I'm sure you had to, or might not have, encountered some difficulties in employment because, as we all know, 70% of people who are considered blind are unemployed. And how was your journey into the workforce?
It's funny because employment is one of my passions for people who are disabled. Before I even finished my bachelor's, I thought I wanted to work. I thought I was ready to work. I wanted to stop right before I was done with my 2-year degree. So I went on an interview. I thought I was ready. My first encounter, I was trying to get the actual address of the work site from the person who was going to interview me. And I was like, oh, I'm new to the city. I don't know where things are. Can you tell me the address? And they kept saying, oh, well, when you drive past this, you'll see that and this. And I was like, oh, God, can you just tell me the address? I didn't want to tell him that I was blind. I was maybe like 19 years old. And I used the landmarks he told me. And then when I got there, I figured out where it was. And I walked in and like, okay, I got past that barrier. Now I just have to get past them seeing my cane and being okay and all that good stuff. So when he saw me, I could immediately tell he was nervous. He was like asking if I needed help. I'm like, oh, hi, sir. My name's Alicia Betancourt. I'm here for the interview. We talked to you on the phone. Put my hand out, shook my hand. Okay. So I walked into the room and he was like stumbling over the chairs. And like, I thought he was the one with the visual impairment. He was so nervous. And we had the interview. And after that, I knew I wasn't going to hear from him. And I wasn't comfortable sharing more about my abilities with him because he wasn't comfortable with me. After that, my whole attitude changed. I was like, okay, I'm going back to school.
How long did you go back to school for?
I decided to finish my education and I got my bachelor's in English, creative writing. But then even after that, I was not successful in finding a job.
Working with people that has different abilities. I like to say different abilities on a Blind Myth podcast. I don't know, when I say disability, it sounds like a diss. But right? When you finally landed your career, how was that feeling behind that? Because I know you worked really, really hard to get up to this point.
Thanks. So one of the things I like to say about the diss and ability is do not diss my ability. So I had to do some self-evaluation because a bachelor's was not enough. Sometimes you have to go higher and higher and higher to prove to people who don't think that people who want to diss your ability understand your ability. So, like, what am I good at? I'm good at listening. I'm good at writing. And I'm good at helping people find resources and problem solving because that's what I'm good at. So I went back to school and social work. Two more years in addition to my 4 already under my belt. And it was the best thing I ever did, even though it was a struggle. And now I love what I do right now. I listen to people. I'm a therapist on a bunch of different platforms. And I really feel like I'm making a difference in people's lives.
Yes. And that's what matters. Saw this great quote. The quote was purpose over popularity, because everybody now today is, you know, clout chasing. Everybody wants attention. They want the quick gratification from what they're doing. But sometimes when you're living in your purpose and you're doing things that follow your purpose, you always don't get recognized for that. But that's okay, because long as the work is getting done, as long as what technologies do you use in your daily life to kind of help navigate this world?
Oh, I love that question. Without a doubt, my screen reader, job access to speech, JAWS. My iPhone is a game changer. VoiceOver and all the AI tools like Be My Eyes or Seeing AI. So I can read stuff.
Now break down what a Braille display is for the audience.
Oh, gosh, what if I don't use a Braille display? Sometimes I use... Oh, okay, cool. So if you ever felt Braille out in the public, on doors, on elevators, there's a way to put that in electronic version. So it feels like a keyboard, but in front of the keyboard, it has like a little strip with raised pins, and you can have it with the regular QWERTY keyboard, or you can have it with the 6 dots that make up Braille. But basically, when you type, the pens will push up and make the Braille letters that you're making. And you can attach that to your phone and read what's on your phone with the Braille display. Or you can attach it to your computer and read what's on your computer. Like if you want to mute Jaws and just have him be quiet, because sometimes he yaps so much, you get a headache. And just read what's on the screen with your hands. It's super cool. It's a game changer.
Since you are a VIP woman,
yes.
How was just your overall dating experience as a visually impaired woman? Oh, no. I'm here to ask the good questions. Because we are, let me preface this, because we as visually impaired people, and a lot of visually impaired people that are going to be listening to the podcast, they struggle with that. And a lot of people struggle with confidence.
Well, let me just say this. I am not a shy person. I don't think I'm, like, even if I could fully see or not see what I can see, I'm naturally cheerful. So sometimes I'm
speech
oblivious
off to
people's facial expressions. So that aspect of being blind is where you have to kind of say, okay, if I can't see anyone's face, how do I really know what they're feeling? Because body language is really big in the sight world. So I use, you know, how people say what they say, and actually a lot of what people don't say is very important. But now that I'm like in my late 30s, I have discovered that if somebody doesn't like me for all of me, whether it's they don't like me because I'm not tall enough, or I'm just not straight enough, or I have a pain and I'm blind, or I'm hearing impaired, or my voice sounds like younger than what I really am. If that person doesn't like me for any part of me, even if they seem like a really cool person and, you know, you want to get to know them, they're not worth my time. So when it comes to dating nowadays, I would recommend this to anybody, blindsided. If somebody doesn't like you for who you are, there's another opportunity down the line to meet someone who will.
Yes, do not settle for poor behavior, especially if someone isn't treating you well. If you feel like you're just being tolerated, like if you're out there listening and you're having trouble in the dating market, you first have to get to love you. Love and get to know yourself, because you can never give your full love and appreciation to anybody else if you don't love and appreciate yourself first.
Exactly.
And that's one of the reasons why I want to do the podcast, because I want to introduce the world to how many cool VIPs are out there living their lives, gathering their careers, taking care of their families, and doing what is needed to be done. Now, what advice would you give out there to anybody who wants to follow their dreams, get more career trained, and just make a living on their own?
Oh, that's a good question. It's really cool if you find a skill that you are good at. And if you find the skill that you're good at, find out, can you do this your whole life? And if you find that you can do it your whole life, find out, how can I bank on it? How can I make a living on it and be sustainable with this skill? Some people are good with routine. And routine is actually something that, you know, they need in their lives. Some people are good with spontaneity. You know, having a different schedule, find what works for you. Don't compare yourself to other blind people or other people who have disabilities or in, you know, your situation, because everyone's skills are unique. Use all your resources that are available to you, friends, family, vocational rehabilitation, ticket to work, some of the things that I've benefited from, and learn from those who are doing what you want to do. Because learning from other blind people has been my most valuable asset and becoming what I am today.
I really appreciate you coming on today's show. I definitely got to have you on again. Where can the people find you?
If anybody's interested in what I do, I have a website. I have a business. It's called thewellnessworkconnection.com. And you can always reach me if you want to learn more at my phone number, 386-492-8102. Keep living and learning. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. And I want to give a round of applause for Miss Betancourt. This has been another episode of the Blind Myth Podcast. I want to thank my guests and I want to thank you all for listening today. Remember, you can get the intro and outro song on all DSPs now, wherever music is streaming. And before I get out of here, remember, life is about solving problems. There is no problem that can't be solved. And sight is useless if the mind is blind. I am your host, Jabril Jamal, aka Easy Wonder. Until next time, I appreciate y'all. I am gone. Up, that was supposed to be when I played my outro song, but of course I am blind, so I pressed the wrong button. Okay, there we go. Bam. Up, because I had the sound turned down. Aha, there we go.
You just never know.
I'm legally blind.
Blind world.
Whoopsie.
Let's get it, let's get it!
If I can get my vision, what I want it back. All this violence in my hood, don't wanna see that. If I can get my vision, what I want it back. All that violence in the hood, wanna see that.
Or not.
Please.